surfers just went in there, but a bunch of them. Hey, did you see that? I'll bet you they're the capacity. I'll bet they're the capacity. I prayed for the children's church leadership this morning that they would instill and impart the Word of God to those young people. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I'm believing that God would do that. Listen, I want to talk to you this morning and want to welcome those of you that are joining us by way of the internet, because 2021, I'm believing in this new year, we have a reason for hope. Amen? A reason for hope. Some of you, did anybody go through some rough spots in 2020? Anybody? Just let's go ahead and just get honest before God and put your hand up and say, yep, that was me. Some of you have got both hands up. Listen, here's the bright side of it all. Here's the bright side of it all. You went through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, we walked through that year. It's behind us.
Amen.
It's behind us. We can't do anything about it. Amen? All we can do is move forward from here. And so today, this first Sunday of 2021, I want to give you this morning a reason for hope. Amen? A reason for hope. Father, this morning as we look into your word, I just pray, God, that you would do something in this preacher. God, that you would take this vessel of clay and some way, somehow, anoint it, Lord, that it would be useful for the kingdom. God, that the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, would glorify God, would bring glory to the kingdom, would give sight to the blind, that would give meat to the hungry. Lord, that something that is said today would open the eyes of the blind in a spiritual way, that they would be able to come to the place where they understand that without you, there is no hope. So God, whether they're watching by way of the internet or whether they're seated in this house today, I pray, God, that your word, not this preacher, but that your word would touch hearts and lives. And all of God's people said amen,
amen
and amen. So you've heard that it was said that there has to be a reason for everything. I want to carry that thought tonight into 1 Corinthians in your Bible, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, starting in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, and the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Listen, be immovable. You got to get a hold of something, church, that will that you can hang on to, that you can tie yourself to, whatever the case may be, so that you are immovable. No wind of change can move you. And always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, Every one of us faces limitations. Amen? There was a time when I felt like there was nothing that I couldn't do. Amen. There are those of you that are sitting in this place today that feel this. There was a day when, bless God, there was nothing I couldn't do. I'd take on anything. I don't care. There's nothing I can't do. And today you're like the preacher. Well, let me think about that. Up here says, yeah, let's do it. But from here down, not going to happen. Every one of us face limitations. Those who have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities are especially aware of this fact. Some may be blind, but listen, church, even though they're blind, they can see a new way to live. Some might be deaf, but they can hear God's good news. Some may be lame, but they can walk in the love of God. And don't forget, they have the encouragement of those disabilities. They are only temporary. Those disabilities, those limitations are only temporary. We are walled in this building, church. But it's only temporary. I got to keep that in front of you, that this building, this place is only temporary. Let me take it another step. That new building out there, we haven't even turned over a rock out there yet. But let me tell you something. That place is temporary. This world is not our home. We have a reason for hope, but we've got to be steadfast. We've got to be immovable. We've got to be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor, whatever we do, the Lord might come back halfway through that project. Who cares? Amen? We're working. Our labor's not in vain. Think about Noah. I think about Noah a lot. Because that guy, in the middle of a desert, can I just tell you something? It had never even rained. God comes to Noah and says, hey, I want you to build me an ark. Well, what's an ark? Well, it's a boat. Now, wait a minute. We're in the middle of a desert. Why do we need a boat? Well, because it's going to rain. Well, what's rain? Well, just build the ark. You'll see. Amen? Just do it. All believers will be given new bodies when Christ returns. And the church said, hallelujah. Woo! I'm ready. Amen? Are we ready for that? I'm ready for that. I'll probably even have hair. Could happen. Could happen. These bodies will be without, listen to me, these bodies will be without disabilities. Never again will we become sick. Never again will you have to go to the doctor and get antibiotics and cough medicine and Rolaids and Tums and this and that and the other thing. No more. You know why? We'll never die. We're never going to be sick. I like the thought of that. To be able to run and jump and climb, or even to just get up out of a chair without pain. That's going to be a great day indeed, church. Some of you young people are laughing. It's coming. It's coming. I'll guarantee you one thing. If I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. Amen. And all the old people said, oh, glory. Amen. It's a true story. I wouldn't lie to you. Not from here. Not at all. After describing the different natures of the two types of bodies, those before the resurrection and those after the resurrection, Paul begins to explain his point. Resurrected bodies have got to be different from these present physical bodies because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Cannot happen. This mortality has to put on immortality. Resurrected bodies have got to be different. These bodies cannot go into God's eternal kingdom because these present bodies were not made to live forever, otherwise they would. Listen, in the nicest kind of way, can I just tell you that you're just dirt? You're just dirt and water. You're a mud pie. Glory to God. You're a sculpture of mud. It's true. Read about it in the Bible. They cannot go into the kingdom of God. So God has prepared for you and I new bodies that will live forever. The resurrection, church, is a fact. New bodies ready for life in eternity is also a fact. You've got to have a new body. Otherwise, you cannot go to heaven. It's going to happen. Some of you are going to have to die to get it. Some of us are not going to die, but we're still going to get it. And those of you that die first, beat us to the punch. Because the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Listen, everybody wants to go to heaven. Not many people want to die to get there. Amen? It's the truth. So God's prepared these new bodies that'll live forever. If flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, then what about those who are still alive at the return of Christ? Paul answers this question. See, the phrase, "we shall not all sleep" in verse 51, it means that some Christians are still going to be alive at the time of Christ's return. When the trumpet blows, church. When that rings through the ages and the graves just pop open and people, I mean, listen, woo! If you can't get excited about that, huh? Something going on in a graveyard. I'll guarantee you one thing, that's going to make headlines. There's something going on in the graveyard. Not everybody is going to have to die to get a new body, a new resurrection body. We will be changed. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in the twinkling of an eye. That's fast. That's pretty fast. A trumpet blast is going to usher in the new heaven and the new earth according to Revelations chapter 11 and verse 15. And at that time when the trumpet sounds and Christ returns, the dead will be raised imperishable out of the grave with new bodies. Those still alive will be changed, also receiving new bodies. This change is going to happen instantly for all Christians, whether they're dead or alive. Woo! Dead or alive, it's going to happen. All are going to be made ready to meet Jesus. As a pastor, I've been asked a lot of questions. Well, what about cremation? What about this? What about that? Well, it doesn't make any difference because you're going to get a new body anyway. Amen? What about all, you know, it just doesn't make any difference what happens to this thing after it's dead. Because I'm getting a new one anyway. Ooh, that's going to be an upgrade. Amen. That's going to be an upgrade. That's going to be an upgrade, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15 and 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And because you and I as Christians have been promised eternal life in God's kingdom, then our present perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. Listen, if you want something to last forever, you do not make it out of dirt. I'm just trying to be practical here. If you want something that's going to last forever, you don't make it out of dirt. In 56 and 57 of this 15th chapter, this says the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you want the victory? You're only going to get the victory through Christ Jesus. Has anybody felt the sting of sin in their life? Listen, we feel like we're in the middle of a bald hornet nest sometimes. I mean, it's like you're just getting zapped from every direction. Satan seemed to be victorious in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 when he deceived Eve into eating the apple. Did God really say that? You're not surely going to die. Deception entered in and she bought into it. And he said, man, I've got him. Genesis chapter 3, you can read about it. And then in the Gospels, at the cross of Jesus, Satan felt like it has finally happened. I have finally shut him up. I have finally stopped this one. I have put an end to it. He is dead. They're going to put him in the ground. It's going to be victorious once and for all. No way. Don't forget what Jesus said. In 3 days. Whoo! I mean, he did not waste any time even when he was dead. He went down there, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He made a spectacle out of the enemy. He humiliated him in front of all of his little demons and imps. And he finished it off when, on that third day, kicked that wall and the rock was moved and he came out. Huh? He came out. I have been in that tomb. Physically. I've been in that tomb. And he ain't there. He is not there. What's that? He wasn't there when you was there, was he? That's because he ain't there. And he's never going to be there again. He gone. He gone. Satan thought he had the victory in the garden. He thought he had the victory at the cross. His trophy was death. But God turned Satan's apparent victory into absolute defeat when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are two reasons why the sting of death is going to be gone forever. Listen, number one, sin gives death its power. Sin gives death its power. Men die because of sin. When God gives man a perfect body, the sting is removed. Death will be no more. Amen? Anybody just, besides the preacher, just tired of dealing with sin? I mean, we make these declarations, right? It's the first of the year, so you gotta make, what is it called? New Year's resolution. I'm resolving, I'm going to be resolute in this declaration that I'm making about 2021, amen? I mean, come hell or high water, I am going to make it through. I'm going to lose 50 pounds while you're eating a double Mac cheeseburger. Right? I mean, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We make all of these things and I'm going to pray every morning. I'm going to read God's word every morning. I'm going to go to bed reading God's word every night, all through the day. I'm going to listen to worship music and spiritual music and godly music. There's just going to be these things I'm just going to take care of, and bam! I'm the only one, me and you, Ray. Me and you. The sting of sin. Amen? The sting of sin pops up. I mean, we've got, everything's great, and all of a sudden your phone dings, ding. You're rummaging through just all kinds of papers, and bam, there's something that reminds you of a time long gone. Is this working? Steve, it's working? Because of sin. Sin just keeps showing up. Death is going to be removed. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more sin. You and I are not going to have to deal with that stuff anymore. I'm going to have a new mind. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to have a new body. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be... Hey. I'm trying to help you this morning. Sin, number two, by the way, sin surrounds death with all of its fears. Jake Hess, if you're a Southern Gospel fan, you know who Jake Hess is. Jake Hess, a great Southern gospel singer, sang a song, and I love it, and the song is, "Death Ain't No Big Deal." Church, that should be our attitude. Death ain't no big deal. If I die today, it ain't no big deal. I'm going straight to glory. Get me a new body, some hair. Amen. Glory. I'm going. Sin surrounds death with all of its fear. If men are perfected, then sin's erased from the picture. Did you hear what I just said? If men are perfected, then sin is erased from the picture. Listen, remember what the Word of God says? That my sin, He remembers no more forever. My sins, the Bible says in Psalms, is cast as far as the east is from the west. And I do everything I can to not remember those things, to put them out of my mind, to do everything that I can. God, I'm going to be steadfast. Lord, I'm going to be immovable. I'm not going to be moved by the things of this world. Bam! Something shows up. And it's in that moment, church, that you and I have to make a conscious decision to not go there. But how many of you know this? Sin's enticing. Listen, the devil did not tempt Eve with okra. He did not tempt her with Brussels sprouts. Or hummus. Ugh. He tempted her with whatever it was. Well, you know, whether it was an apple, I don't care what it was. But it was beautiful. It was good. Whatever that is on that tree, it looked good. It was attractive. It was appealing. It was tantalizing. I imagine when she looked at that with the intent to eat it, has your taste buds ever just went off on you? Huh? You're like, oh God, oh Lord Jesus. Huh? I'm going, Lord. When I see Grandma walking in the church with a pecan pie in her hand, I'm like, oh, Lord. When I see her walking out of the church with an empty pie, I thank you, Lord. Your tongue, just, I mean, when she saw that thing, there was something that went off. And it was, oh man, bam. We've got to say no. Sin will always present itself as something desirable. It will always be presented as something that you just got to have this. God, did God really say that you would die? It's just fruit. You will not surely die. Well, God pretty much said, yeah, you'll surely die. And death surely entered into the picture in that moment. So death is no longer then the source of dread or fear, because death becomes helpless. If sin has been erased from the picture, there's now no more death or surrounding fears. Death becomes helpless. Death has no big deal. Literally, death is no big deal. So death is no longer a source of dread or fear. It has ceased to be the proof of Satan's power because Jesus took over the sin and death and hell and all. He erased it. We're still going to die, but we don't have to be afraid of it. Christ overcame it, church, and one day you and I will as well. The law will no longer make sinners out of those of us that cannot keep the law. Death has been defeated and we have hope now beyond the grave. Listen, if it were not for sin, there would be no sting of death. If it were not for the law, then sin would have no power. But the law declares sin. The law declares sin. And the Bible says in Romans that the wages of sin is death. So because the law set the standard that cannot be reached, all people are condemned as sinners because we can't attain to the perfection of the law. And so for those who have not had their sins pardoned at the cross, death is not a passage to eternal life, but it is an enemy with a terrible sting. Can I just tell you, because some people, there's people that think, that literally think, people that you probably know. There are people that you probably know that have this mentality, that death is not annihilation or nothingness. Or they think that it is. They think that when I'm dead, I'm just dead. That's the end of it. They're going to chunk me in the ground, throw some dirt on me, and that's it. The bugs are going to come. That's it. That's not true. That is not true. The enemy plants that lie to give you the impression that, you know what, all this other stuff is just a bunch of, there's nothing going on. If there wasn't anything going on, why is there such a battle? If there's nothing going on, why has the church tried to be silenced for all these thousands of years? If it's no big deal, why do they come against the kingdom of God so hard? Because the law set the standard that can't be reached. And those who have had their sins pardoned at the cross, death is not just a passage, but an enemy with a terrible sting. It is not annihilation or nothingness. Death is the doorway to judgment. The very thought of judgment brings fear. Right? As a child of God, you don't have to have fear because Jesus took it. Jesus already took the punishment for your sin. Those who have come have laid their sin at the cross and have been pardoned, and they can say thanks be to God. They have been given the victory over sin and death through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have put on His righteousness. We are in our position of righteousness. Righteousness is not a thing. Righteousness, church, is a position. It is your position in Christ Jesus. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. whatever your resolution was for 2021, you have got to be steadfast, or it will not come to pass. You have got to be immovable. You can't let what others think move you. You must always be abounding in the work of the Lord. You have to know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, preacher, I'm not much good anymore. I'm not much use. I'm old and decrepit and can't get around good. That is a lie from the enemy. Amen. With Christ, all things are possible. You need to tell yourself that, and you need to be steadfast and immovable. Because of these promises of future resurrection, of living eternally in the kingdom, of preparation for that kingdom with new bodies that'll be fashioned by God Himself, you and I as believers have motivation and responsibility. You've heard it said, you probably know it, being that you live in the Pacific Northwest where we have lots and lots of rivers. Any dead fish can float downstream. But I'll tell you something, it takes vitality. It takes a desire to reproduce for a salmon or a steelhead to start in the Pacific Ocean and swim and face all kind of obstacles, all kinds of barriers, all kinds of these things that would impede their process to reproduce. And they fight it. They climb over rocks. They go over dams. They go through all kinds of stuff. The course of the river has been changed through the last 4 years when they went to the ocean, and now they're coming back because there's something inside that is driving them. Church, we need something inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit that will drive you and I to a place that says, I've got to reproduce myself into as many as I can because the kingdom of God is at stake here. Any dead fish can float downstream. But you're going to have to whip wildcats with a willow switch if you want to get to the spawning ground. Listen, I'm a fisherman. I like to fish. I like to fish. I'm not too good at catching. But I like to fish. And you know what fishermen use? Pretty things. Shiny things. Blingy, blingy things. Things that smell good. Things that they think is going to taste good. Those are the things that we put in front of the fish to catch the fish. And when the fish bites the bait, they are in trouble. The devil is going to dangle before you all kinds of flashy things. All kind of shiny things. All kind of things that smell good, look good, and taste good. But if you partake, there's a hook set in your jaw. Listen, church, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I am telling you the truth because I've experienced it. I'm not telling you something that I heard about from somebody else. I'm not telling you about something that I read out of a book somewhere. I'm telling you something that come right out of my life. I have had that hook set in my jaw and reeled in. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And I know the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. I know the redeeming power. He can reach down and release that hook and set you free. Where am I at? I don't have any idea where I'm at. Oh, here I am halfway down the page. Yeah. Halfway down the page. I got it. Therefore, anytime in Scripture when you're reading and you see the word therefore? It is therefore a reason. That sounds funny, but it's the truth. It is there for a reason. God is saying, hey, listen up. Pay attention. My beloved children, listen. Be steadfast. Because of these promises of future resurrection, of living eternally in the kingdom, of preparation for that kingdom with new bodies that will be fashioned by God Himself, believers have motivation and responsibility for life now lived in a perishable body. Listen, the time on earth is valuable. Some of you have faced life-threatening circumstance. And you're here today because God has brought you through that. Now here's a news flash. He didn't just bring you through that to bring you through that. He brought you through that because He has a purpose and He has a plan and He has a desire that you would do the things of God. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's saying to us, there's a work for every one of us to do. There's something for every person that names the name of Christ. Listen, it's not just for the pastor. It's not just for my leadership. It's not just for my council members. It's not just for the Sunday school and children's church teachers. It's not just for the... It's for you. So our time on earth is valuable. We have much work to do for the kingdom. We have much work to do for the kingdom. Others must be invited to join. Believers must be taught to grow in the Lord. And because of the promise of the future, life is not meant to be spent. Oh, you ain't even going to like this. Do you see what it says on the paper there? They ain't going to like it, are they? Too bad. Because of the promise of the future, what is our promise? Our promise is a home in glory. Our promise is life everlasting in the presence of Almighty God. Our promise is a new body. Our promise is all those things that you and I have can't even begin to name. Because of the promise of the future, life is not meant to be spent as a self-indulgent party. Life is not meant to be spent as a self-indulgent party where people eat, drink, and be merry. Every job that is done for the Lord is not in vain. I look around this room and I can see people and I can see things that people have done in this building to make this building be what it is today. Listen, it might have been just laying carpet. It might have been just spraying some paint up on the wall. It might have been just building a little place back there for you guys to work. It might have been just pounding some nails up here to make a place for me to stand and to preach God's Word. It might have been just putting whatever it is you guys put on the floor to make it look like this, because this ain't what it looked like when we walked in here. It is not in vain. It is not done in vain. It is not a fruitless exercise that ends in death like everything else. Work in the Lord will in fact result in taking part in the great promises and the rewards of God's kingdom. So we as believers ought to be steadfast in our faith, not wavering, not doubting. We should be immovable, not listening to the whims of false teachers, but standing firm and always excelling in the work of the Lord, serving Him to the utmost, knowing that a great reward awaits you and I. There is a reward laid up for me in heaven. There is a reward laid up for you in heaven. There are people doing things in this church right now. They're running thoughts are running through their mind right now. There are people that are doing things that you have no idea what they're doing, but they're doing things, and because of it, the kingdom of God is going to advance. Let me close with this. Let me try to close with this. Let me say I'm closing with this. Don't mean I am. I'm just voicing that. Let me close with this. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 14. This is a kind of a lengthy passage, but it is power-packed. Paul writing to the church in Philippi, encouraging them. He says, finally, my brethren, that's you and I. He's writing to the church. He's writing to the church in Philippi, but by association, because of whose we are, he's writing to you and I. He says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He says, beware of dogs. He's not talking about Bowser. Okay? He ain't talking about Ren 10-10 or Lassie or anybody else. He's talking about the dogs. Beware of evil workers. He's saying beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Let me just stop right there. Let me just tell you something about this 220 pounds of flesh. I cannot trust it. It is true. I have another little news flash. You can't trust yours either. Because it'll get you in trouble. Your flesh will get you in trouble. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I crucify my flesh every day. There's got to be some way, somehow, that we can stab this flesh and shut it down. Because if we don't, this flesh will get us into all kind of mess. I'm just telling you, I'm talking from experience. I'm talking from a level of experience. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And Paul goes on right here and begins to declare this long resume of his life. Listen to what he says. I more so, at the end of verse 4, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power. Listen, He's telling you something right here, church. He's giving you and I something that we can hang on to. He's giving us something that will cause us to be steadfast right here. Listen to what he says. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Because of his resurrection, remember, death had no more power. Death couldn't hold him. Death is just something out there. But because that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't even like that part. Being conformed to his death, if by any means, verse 11, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God, in Christ Jesus. Listen, take it. Don't take it from this preacher. Take it from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. Church, we have got to press on. Those things in 2020 that tried to kill you, use them as stepping stones. Use them as weights that will make you stronger. Use them as something to get you up over what God has put before you. Because there are greater days coming. They might be filled with pain. They might be full of discouragement. But I promise you that God has a plan for you. Sometimes trying to live a perfect Christian life can be so difficult that it leaves us drained and discouraged. But I'm telling you, there is hope. Press for the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ. You might be feeling far from perfect, that we think we can never please God with our life. And I want you to know that Paul's not talking about the perfection that we talk about perfection as something that is without flaw, without any kind of error, without any. Paul's not talking about that. Paul's saying, become mature, grow up in the things of God, pull a bottle out of your mouth, begin to walk in the things of God, be the man and woman of God that God has called you to be in 2021. Paul uses perfection to mean mature or complete, not faultless in every detail. Listen, you look up here at this preacher, you are not looking at perfection. But one thing I hope that you can see is someone that confesses their sin and presses toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Those who are mature should press on in the Holy Spirit's power, knowing that Christ will reveal and fill any discrepancy between what we are and what we should be. That'll only happen for those of us that have named the name of Jesus, that are walking in His ways, that are leaning on Jesus. We used to sing the old song, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Church, we got to get back to where we lean on Jesus. We got to get back to where we're not moved by the external, but that we're living for the eternal. Amen? Amen. We got to get back to the place where not only in the physical are we searching out and finding someone that is lost and bringing them back. In the spiritual realm, church, we've got to begin to see people that are lost and share with them the good news. The Bible says the fields are white unto harvest, but the workers, the laborers, are few. God's calling you and I. God's calling you and I to be laborers in His field. God's calling you and I in 2021 to make a determination. He says in His Word to not forsake the fellowshipping together one with another. Not just so church houses would be full, but so that we would begin to grow. So that we could be used, because God's wired every one of us. God has put within each and every one of us what He needs to use you for to advance His kingdom. And if you're not here, if you're not faithful to what He has called us to, you can't be effective. You can't be used. And church, one day, every one of us are going to stand before God and give an account. We're not going to be judged for our sin. Don't misunderstand me. But you are going to be judged based on what you have done for God with the giftings and the talents that God has given you. Amen? Amen. Listen to me, church. We have a reason for hope. Amen? We have a reason for hope. Father, today I've said what You've asked me to say. God, I've done what You've asked me to do to the very best of my ability. And Father, with every head bowed and with eyes closed and with people praying today, There may be those in this house today that have never confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may be among us today. And I pray that they are. They may be watching by way of the internet. And I pray that you are. And I want to tell you that Jesus said in John chapter 3 that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you and I, are whosoever, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life, would get that new resurrection body, would get that home that He is preparing right now for you in glory. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. I got news for you. You don't know how bad I've been, and I'm redeemed. It doesn't make any difference how bad you are. What makes a difference is, are you willing to call on the name of Jesus? Are you willing to say, God, I'm a sinner, and I'm lost, and I'm going straight to hell without you? Now, that's blunt, but that's the truth. And here's the good part. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Period. That's what God's Word says. And He said, I'll remember your sin no more forever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you loved us. Your Word says that you loved us and died for us while we were still your enemy. Oh, God, we're grateful that you loved us that much. Lord, I pray for those today that are here. I pray for those today that are watching by way of the internet. God, that if there'd be one in this place today that has not called on the name of Jesus, that have not said, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Would you forgive me? Would you save me? Today, they have that opportunity. They're watching by way of the internet. They have the same opportunity. If you're watching and that's you and you need Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just type something in there to let our IT people know that it's you, and we're going to pray in just a moment. But if you're in this room today and you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus in my life. Maybe you've accepted Jesus at some point in your life. But life happened and things happened and circumstance and all those things, and the dangly pretty thing that was dangled in front of you, and the enemy put it and you bit it and you took it, and now you have that hook set in your jaw. Some way or another, the enemy has lured you away from a life with Jesus. And today you're saying, preacher, I want to rededicate my life. I want to resurrender my life to Jesus. If that either one of those is you, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up, because I want to pray with you today. We want to settle the issue. We want to take care of it so that you never have to have doubt ever again of whose you are. Anybody at all say, preacher, that's me. Anybody at all, preacher, that's me. Hallelujah. Anybody at all, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Listen, because I can't see you on the internet, and I don't know whether you typed anything in or not, I'm going to just pray. And whether you're in this room today or whether you're watching by way of the internet, and some way or another you can't muster up the strength or the courage to walk up here or to raise your hand, you can't get here because you're on the internet. You might be in New York, I don't know. But if you'll pray this prayer, believe in your heart, confess this with your mouth. Jesus said, He didn't say if you do it while you're in church. He said, just do it. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Prepare for me a place in glory. In your kingdom, where sin will not bother me or move me ever again. God, help me to walk according to your word. Help me to read your word. Help me to live my life in accordance to your word. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. And I'll see you soon. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Can we just give God a great big hand clap of praise right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen. God bless you. Oh, hang on just a minute. Hang on just a minute. Hang on just a minute. Let's see if this works, Steve.
I'll hold it. I told the girls, I said, I don't want to see them take her away. I don't want that memory of them taking her out. I go in the living room and I sit down in my recliner. And I'm just crying my eyes out. And all of a sudden, from up here, I was sitting down.
Jesus.
About the height of her, unto heaven, unto God in heaven, she said to me, now she's died, okay? They're taking her out. And she says to me, Irene, don't cry. And I felt, I didn't see her, but I felt it went like here over to here. And she said to me, Irene, don't cry. She was out of her body and she was gone.
Yeah.
Don't ever be afraid of dying, people.
Jesus.
It's true what the Bible says.
Yes, it is.
It's true. And
yes.
God gave me that.
Yes.
And I've hung on to that.
All these years.
God gave me that.
Amen. Amen.
I just had to share that.
Amen. 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 God is a good God. Listen, guys. Hey, listen, guys. Don't forget Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, right here in this place. I need every one of you guys in here. Thursday morning, women's Wednesday, Bible study. Be what God wants you to be this week.